Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This past week, South Africa has been arguing about the 150, more or less, Palestinians who arrived on a charter flight to OR Tambo. Some of them, some South Africans, calling them refugees, others illegal immigrants, and everything else in between. They had been held on a plane for hours while officials tried to work out if their documentation was in order, whether they might stay here, and whether they had been forced out by Israel, as some reports like to claim. This morning, we wanted to park the politics and actually understand the law. When should people seek asylum? Is there really a rule that you have to claim asylum in the nearest safe country? And how does South Africa deal with people who arrive with all sorts of maybe missing stamps, even though that isn't a, it isn't common, it isn't a thing coming out of Israel? What about the strange routes and no papers at all? Well, to help us unpack this, I am joined by Professor Henny Strydom, Professor of International Law at the University of Johannesburg, holder of the South African Research Chair in International Law. Very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can we just start with some definitions? What is the difference between a refugee, an asylum seeker, and an undocumented migrant in terms of international law?
Yeah, good morning. This is a rather confusing picture that we have of the group of people who ended up in South Africa. You have different kinds of refugees. Say, for instance, in the case of an armed conflict, you may have refugees leaving that country and trying to find a safe place in a neighboring country or whatever the case might be. Where large numbers, you're crossing borders and seeking some place to stay while there's an armed conflict situation. Then you have individuals who may face persecution in country of origin. And they have to escape that persecution and traveling to another country to find a safe haven there. So, and this is regulated in terms of international law. We have the refugee treaties of the United Nations and the Organization of African Union, but it is also regulated in terms of domestic law. And there are procedures to be followed if a refugee of whatever nature arrives at the border of a foreign country. That person has the right to seek asylum.
Right.
And there are sort of procedures determined in according to domestic law to be followed in order to get a permanent, temporary permit to stay in that country. And there are certain, of course, factual circumstances that will be taken into account. Like, for instance, is there a well-founded fear of being persecuted? And what are the circumstances surrounding that? And that is a process that will be, you know, followed and determined on the factual basis whether that person will qualify for asylum. And it's the same where people are fleeing armed conflict situations. The circumstances, of course, will indicate it where what is the situation in that country where the armed conflict is taking place. And then you have undocumented migrants, people just seeking a different kind of existence. They fleeing economic hardship or whatever case that might be, and they enter a country without the correct documentation. But in many of these instances, there is one fundamental principle in international law which states have to abide by. Let's take the example now of the Palestinians arrived in South Africa.
Right.
The principle as it applies is known as a non-refouma principle. And it is a principle saying that if people in that circumstance arrive in a country, they cannot be returned to their place of origin if there are factual reasons to believe that they may face threat to their well-being.
Right.
I think this is a principle that applies here, despite the confusion and all of that. So this is a fundamental principle. They arrived at Oliver Tambo. Now South Africa is under an international and domestic law obligation not to return them to circumstances where they may face hardship. And in those circumstances, humanitarian grounds will determine what needs to be done. And I think that is why the South African government has issued, you know, the necessary 90-day authority.
Right,
yeah,
right.
90-day sort of permit to stay in South Africa. And during that process, there will, of course, be a determination on what should happen to them. And they are also entitled to seek asylum. And I think some of them have already indicated that is the process they will be followed.
Right.
Others may decide to go some other place. So this is, I think, to cut through all the hype and to cut through all the confusion.
It's so interesting because, you know, it what is fascinating and it makes sense is on a purely moral level and a humanitarian level, what happened, the fact that they arrived without papers and there was something that went on behind the scenes is another matter entirely. But the reality is you have 150 people who have left hardship and who have arrived in this country and can't be sent back to, because there isn't even a place to be sent back to. They came via through Gaza to Israel to the Ramon airport and then flew via wherever. They can't be returned. So the humanitarian aspect is dealing with it was exactly right. Find a way to give them some form of sanctuary whilst the process is sorted. And it's, you know, just from a moral and humanitarian point of view, to me it doesn't seem as though government did anything wrong. The only time it will maybe that might shift is if they had foreknowledge of this.
Yes, no, you're absolutely correct in that assessment. As I understand the media reports at this point in time, there were no sort of prior, you know, negotiations or discussions or notification going on. And it happens sometimes that people fleeing hardship just end up at the state's border.
Right.
And that case must then be dealt with on the basis of what evidence is available, and the treatment meted out must then sort of be determined accordingly. So my assessment at this point in time is that South Africa did the right thing.
Yes.
Because of the principle of no return in the circumstances of the case. And then to give them a sort of sanctuary and then determine what will happen to them afterwards and how they will be treated in South Africa or what permits should be issued and so on.
What about the many people I know on social media saying that why did they fly all the way across the world when surely the obligation of countries around them is greater to accept them? Is that a principle at all in law?
No. I mean, we don't know the circumstances why they got onto a plane and when why it was that this plane was destined for South Africa.
Mm.
So it seems to me that behind the scenes there's some kind of a fake company, or that's the allegation at least, involved in, you know, in getting these people together and onto a plane. And I think it's because of circumstances beyond their control. Why they ended up, you know, in South Africa. And maybe there was no attempt made to
go more local.
To get them to a more local destination. Not so long ago, a year or two ago, we had a case of Afghanis who fled Afghanistan and ended up at Beit Bridge.
Wow.
You know, under circumstances which clearly indicated that they may threat you know, death and other harm when they are sent back. And again, in that situation, the question is, why did they travel through several other countries to come to South Africa? I mean, I think that's fairly immaterial. The issue is they are at the border.
Absolutely. Deal with the reality that is in front of you. 100%. I do unfortunately need to leave it there. They're signaling me I need to go to ads and then to the news. Professor Henny Strydom, Professor of International Law at the University of Johannesburg, thank you for bringing us some clarity and measure.